I have news for you this morning. This is going to be one interesting sermon. How's that for an advance notice? Thank you. Because I think I'm going to be asking a question that most of you have never asked of yourself. You know, we're in the middle of a series. It's a three-part series called Let a Man Examine Himself as we get ready for Pesach, we get ready for Passover. And this morning's message is entitled Rebirth. Rebirth. With the question to be asked, have you been born again? Have you been born again? Now, I want to remind you that it's scriptural to examine yourself to see if, in fact, you are saved, if you are in Messiah, if you have been born again. 2 Corinthians 3, 13:5 says this, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. And so this morning, I'm going to ask by the power and conviction of the Holy Spirit for all of us to really examine ourselves and ask ourselves the question, have we truly been born again? And here's the first point I want to make. You must be born again. You must be born again. Let me read to you, if you will, from John 3, beginning in verse 1. John 3, beginning in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So we know by this that Nicodemus was not your normal run-of-the-mill Pharisee, but he was high up in the pecking order. This man came to Yeshua by night. Why would he come to him by night? I think the obvious answer is he didn't want to have the rest of the Pharisees know that he was coming to him. And I'll talk to you about that a little bit more. This man came to Yeshua by night and asked and said to him, and listen to what he says. It's amazing. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Do you realize what he's just said? That the Yeshua he's come to, in the night, by the way, is sent by God, is with God, and it's only by the strength of God that he does what he can do. And so Yeshua answered and said to him, thank you very much, Nicodemus. Yeshua's answer is so to the point that we have to marvel at it. Yeshua answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He doesn't say, thank you, Nicodemus, that's a very nice compliment. You know, I get compliments like that all the time. Please understand that I'm not stuck up, my head's not puffed up, but I really do appreciate it. No, he says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you're going to hell. And Nicodemus said to him, and these are normal questions, I think, that we would ask if we were in this situation. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's a normal question. You know, I can't even picture myself entering into my mom's womb again. I mean, there's no room in her womb for me again. Okay, never mind. And Yeshua answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, and please understand, this speaks of natural birth. This does not speak of baptism or immersion, because he's talking about natural birth versus spiritual birth. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. You must be born again. I think it's probably true that many times, maybe even too many times, as we read the scriptures, we get down on the Pharisees. You know, we think the Pharisees are all bad guys. You know, that's that, you know, Pharisee, the nasty Pharisee. Yeah, they were legalistic. Yeshua pointed that out a number of times. They put fences around the law. That's true. They made up their own man-made laws and customs. That's true. And they also, for the most part, challenged and opposed Yeshua himself. But I'm here to tell you that all the Pharisees were not bad people. All the Pharisees were not bad people. In reality, they were the most conservative theologians of their day. They believed in and worshiped God. They earnestly awaited the coming of Messiah. They believed in the scriptures, all of the Tanakh, not just the Torah, like the Sadducees. And Nicodemus was not just a Pharisee, he was a ruler of the Jews. He went to the temple regularly. He attended synagogue services regularly. He prayed, he studied, and he read his Bible. He tithed. There are even some historical accounts that say that the leaders of the Pharisees would memorize the Torah as they studied. Now, I know that's no great shakes for all of you. You know, I know that all of you have memorized Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. You know, Leviticus, that's the one we fudge through when we do the Bible in a year. Numbers and Deuteronomy. So the Pharisees were regularly in the temple and synagogue. They fasted and prayed. They studied and memorized scripture. They tithed and they gave to charity. And they believed in God. They believed in the one true God. They believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as far as Nicodemus is concerned, I think that, as I read this passage, that he really believed that Yeshua was who he said he was. I believe that he thought that he came from God and that God was with him. I mean, he recognized that, number one, he was a teacher come from God. Number two, that he did godly signs. And number three, that God was with him. So listen to this. Please listen to what I'm about to say. Yeshua says to a man who believes in God, goes to temple religiously, attends synagogue services, studies and memorizes scripture, fasts and prays, tithes and gives to charitable causes, and believes that Yeshua is from God and that God is with him, he says to this man, "You must be born again. You are not able to enter the kingdom of heaven, Nicodemus, unless you are born again." And I think that that there may be a lot of people today who mentally believe in Yeshua and who do all the right things but have never been born again. They have never fully submitted their lives to God. So that's point number one. You must be born again. And number two, many people have not been born again. We've been studying in our men's Bible study the Sermon on the Mount, which I believe is more properly entitled The Teaching on the Hill, and probably it's even better titled Discipleship 101. And I've been teaching it also in the Bible class that I teach at Sam's School in Leesburg, Virginia. I want you to turn to Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." How many go in by it? Many. "Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." How many?
Few.
So many go the way of destruction, and few go the way of life. So I have a question for you. Is many more or less than few? More than few. Many on the broad road to destruction, and few on the narrow road to life. Which leads to a very sobering conclusion. More people are going to hell than are going to heaven. But we don't think about that very much, do we? I mean, see, when we hear things like, we serve a God of love, which we do. We serve a God of grace, which we do. That God is loving and forgiving to all, which he is. And then we hear, but more will not enter the kingdom of heaven than will enter hell. That's kind of a hard thing to swallow. But I believe that's what the scripture says. And I don't know about you, but I've been to lots of funerals where the presiding officer gets up and says, well, we know that so-and-so is in a better place right now. Really? Probably lived a life like the devil. Drank, which is why his liver gave out. Probably was immoral. Oh, but he's in a better place right now because God is love. Yes, God is love, but he gives us all a chance. And unfortunately, I believe that many will not accept the offer of life, and only few will. And so I'm telling you this morning, this Shabbat before Passover, as we examine ourselves, you cannot ask yourself a more important question than this. Am I truly born again? Look at Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And I believe the understanding here of lawlessness is not doing the will of God. I never knew you, he said. And these people that he's talking to, by their own understanding, are actively engaged in the work of God. Oh, am I speaking to somebody or just to me? So if there are people who are actively engaged in ministry, and they will hear Yeshua say to them, I never knew you? How many more who simply attend services every week will hear the same thing? Why do some people think that they are saved, and why is there confusion over being born again? And maybe we just don't understand the process of being spiritually born again. Yeshua parallels natural birth with spiritual birth. Being born on earth with being born from above. I'm sure you, like me, have heard lots of testimonies of people who say things like, well, I was saved at a young age, but I really didn't change until I was older. Has everybody heard that? Me too. It's as if the problem is growth, spiritual growth after salvation. Bear with me. I'll explain to you what I'm talking about if you stick with me. But maybe, and bear with me now, maybe, just maybe, there is the necessity of growth before salvation. Yeshua said, you must be born again. So think about this in the natural. When a baby is conceived, is it immediately born? No. Or is there a time of growth and change before birth? Yes. So let me ask the experts, the women, ladies, has a baby ever been conceived and then immediately been born? No. There's a period of time, normally around 9 months, between conception and birth. And what is that time called? Pregnancy. Some women say it's called hell. But So in the natural, there is conception, and then there is a period of growth and, if you will, discomfort as the child gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then there is growth. Then there is birth. Is it possible that too many people in the body of Messiah are calling spiritual conception salvation? Is it possible that too many people in the body of Messiah are calling spiritual birth, conception, salvation? It is possible that when the notion of the good news is conceived in our minds, the understanding of sin and the need for a Savior, that there needs to be a time of growth and maybe discomfort before we are spiritually born again. You see, it's one thing to know that you need a Savior and that God has sent His Son to be that Savior. It's another thing to let that seed grow in your heart until you give total control of your life over to Him. It's kind of like we talked about last week. The question is, who's in charge? Who's in charge? And as long as you're still in charge, there is no birth. And I truly believe that there are many people who have had the seed of God conceived in them, living uncomfortable lives because they have not been born again yet. So, here's number three. How can I know if I've been born again? Don't you think Scripture would tell us? 1 John 5:13 says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, that you may know that you have eternal life." Now, people will sometimes hear a message like this, a message about salvation and the need to be saved, and they will say something like this: "God, if I need to be saved, please save me. If I need to be saved, please save me." So let me tell you why that prayer doesn't work. First of all, it's probably not the first time you've prayed it. And second of all, you don't get saved by saying to God, "If I do need saving, if I am lost, if I do need you, then save me." You say to the Lord, "I am lost, and I need you desperately." So how can I know if I'm saved? How can I know if I'm born again? Well, the Scripture defines our relationship with Messiah as a marriage, does it not? He is the groom and we are his bride. Well, one never forgets the event of getting married, do they? You better not. You may forget it once, but that's about it. You don't forget the fact that your life radically changed the moment you got married. You see, someone has moved in with you and is now living with you and has been living with you ever since. Well, listen, when you get saved, when you are born again, your life radically changes. And someone comes into you to live his life in and through you. Someone named Yeshua moves into your house. And with that new tenant living with you, actually in you, and you in him, your life radically changes. It has to happen by his presence. And only by his presence. Now, sometimes when I ask people if they're saved, if they're born again, they give me an answer like, "Well, I think I am." Really? You think you are? They might say, "Well, you see, I had an experience when I was 8 at a youth camp when they showed me the scary movie about everybody leaving, you know." Or it might have been when I was 14 at a summer retreat with the teenagers, or when I was 25 on one of those men's retreats. I'm not really sure when it might have happened, but I think I'm saved. Brothers and sisters, you better know if you're saved. And again, let's liken this to marriage. If someone said to me, "Are you married?" What would happen if I said, "I think so"? You see, Tina and I had this experience in 1982, and then again in 1992, and then again in 2002. Yeah, I think I'm married. No, when I got married, something radically changed about my life. And when I got saved, something radically changed about my life. My desires changed. My priorities changed. My life changed, and I gave my life to God fully, without conditions. And if your desires and priorities and life has not changed, well, maybe, just maybe, you have not been born again. Maybe the seed of faith that was conceived in you has not yet given birth to spiritual life. And listen, please listen. When you get saved, the responsibility of change is not on you. The responsibility of change is not on you. The responsibility of change is on God, the God that you surrendered your life to. Your only responsibility is to give him control of your life. And if you don't do that, then how can you change? Sure, we grow. Sure, we learn. Sure, we mature after we're born again. But it's because God has done a change in our hearts. You see, every one of us is born going the wrong way. Going to hell. Sorry, you guys are sitting in hell today. Right? That's awful. Every one of us is born going the wrong way. And many people may want to go the right way. And they try, and they try, and they try, and they try. But their inclination is always to go back the wrong way. But when we admit that we can't change in our own strength, and by what we try to do, when we admit that we can't correct the inclination of our hearts by ourselves, when we confess our inability to God and give him permission, I can't even read my own writing, give him permission to fix our heart, to be the agent of change in our lives, then the inclination of our heart is to go the right way. And we are changed from within. You see, your default before you're born again is to go in the wrong direction. And you can try and try and try and try and try to get the right direction, but if you stop trying, you're back to the inclination of your heart. But when we are born again, God reverses our polarity. And we want to do the right thing. Now, we can try to do the wrong thing. We really can. You know, I don't want to forgive her. She does this all the time. No, Lord, I don't want to. Okay, I forgive her. In other words, we want to do what is right. Why? Because there's been a change in our heart. When we confess our inability to God, your default before you're born again is to go in the wrong direction. Your default after you're born again is to go in the right direction. And so here's my question for you. On this Shabbat, the Shabbat before Passover, 2017, when did the default of your heart change directions? When did the default of your heart change directions? Or did the default of your heart ever change directions? Are you not sure if it did or if it didn't change directions? If that's the case, Why would you not want to nail it down today? Why would you not want to make things right today? Why would you not want to totally surrender to the God of creation and his Son of salvation and allow him to change the polarity of your heart from evil to good? You see, and Yeshua told this to Nicodemus, you are basing all eternity on whether or not you have been born again. You are basing all of eternity on whether or not you have been born again. You see, eternity is not based on whether or not you come to services at Son of David Congregation. Eternity is not based on whether you engage in ministry, whether here or elsewhere. Yeshua said to Nicodemus, and he says to us, you must be born again. So why, if you have any doubt, would you not want to nail it down today? And that's what I'm going to give you an opportunity to do. If there is anyone here whose heart is being tugged at by the Holy Spirit and who's asking themselves the question, am I really saved? Have I really been born again? Is it just a mental understanding of salvation I have and not a cohabitation with Yeshua who is salvation? If I just come to services because I've been doing it for 30 years and everybody thinks I'm saved, but I really haven't changed, I just look better on the outside. If there's anybody here who has that question in your mind, I want you to raise your hand right now. Yes, Lord. Anyone else? Yes? Yes, yes? You can put your hand down, but if your hand was raised, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. It's a simple prayer. Dear Lord, I understand that unless I am born again from above by the Spirit, I will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And I'm not sure, as I sit here right now, whether that has ever happened in my life. But I want it to happen. And this morning, this Shabbat, April 8th, 2017, the Shabbat that the entire Jewish world calls Shabbat HaGadol, the big, great Shabbat, I give you total control of my life, and I invite you to change me from the inside out. And I mean this. This is not something I'm going to ask you to do again. This is a one-time deal. You are the God of creation, the God of salvation, and the God of hope. And I recognize that I am your creation, that your Son is my salvation, and only through him do I have hope. And so, Lord, today I give you my life and ask you to make me born again. And let's all say, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, do not leave this sanctuary this morning without telling somebody. It can be your husband, it can be your friend, it can be me or one of the elders. Tell us that you made that decision. Because Scripture says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, then we will be saved. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu Shebaash Shamayim, our Father, our King in heaven. Your word, Lord, is sweet. Your word is pure. But sometimes, Lord, your word is crystal clear. And this is one of those texts. It's my prayer, Lord, that no one would leave this place with any doubt this morning that they are born again. It's my prayer that if anyone prayed that prayer with me this morning and will confess that decision to someone this morning, that they will see a change in their life that can only be explained by the God of creation. Father, I remember that change in my life, sitting in the back row of Son of David on Muncaster Road and shaking as tears welled up in me from places I didn't know tears belonged. And the next morning, when my daily routine stopped, my daily routine of going into the bathroom and closing the door and taking out the pot and getting stoned in preparation for the day, you changed my heart, and I took that marijuana and threw it in the trash. It was not of my doing. It was of your doing. And so, Lord, we expect wonderful stories of change in the weeks and months to come. And we pray all this in the name of our Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarech Adonai vayishmerecha. Yaeranai panavlecha vichuneka. Yisa Adonai panavlecha ve'yasem lecha shalom. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's not forget our blessing on our food.